And so, with the cup held high, me the leave Croke Park, All-Ireland football champions for 1949.
Oh, beautiful me, you got all that I need.
Dempsey hits Darren Fay. Anthony Finnerty comes in and gives him a touch of the elbow. Colm Coyle hitting Finnerty. This is Colm's first punt. Finnerty, delayed reaction, looks around, sees Martin O'Connell coming in and thinks that the best action is to go down.
What a set of matches we've had. Four terrific and memorable games. Final score, Meath 2-10, Dublin 15.
So Joe McDonagh, GAA president, presents Sam Maguire to Graham Geraghty and Meath are the football champions.
Hello, listeners. You're very welcome to another edition of the We Are Meath podcast with Davey Rispin and Mickey Brennan. And Davey, bank holiday weekend, so we're not recording until the Monday. I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is the first time since we started doing the podcasts nearly 1,000 episodes ago between Loyal Royals and We Are Meath podcasts that we had a full weekend with nothing on for us to cover.
Great, isn't it? What's rare is wonderful, Mickey. But no, we enjoyed our weekend off. We still had absolutely bucket loads to be at with setting up commentaries for the week ahead and obviously our All-Stars night, which is not too far away now as well. So there was plenty for us to be at, albeit not at any games, which normal service will be resumed next weekend. I think it's fair to say.
No, there was plenty of games on the weekend, but we decided to take the weekend off from that because we have, as you said, so much to organise at the minute with everything coming up, especially the Kiko Sports We Are Meath All-Stars event that will be taking place in the Blackwater Inn on the 25th of November. We'll just get that in now, in the Blackwater Inn in Kells. And we have an Eventbrite set up for that. Go to any of our social media pages, you'll find the Eventbrite. It is a free entry on the night, but just we want to get a gauge for numbers and stuff, so that's why we've set up an Eventbrite to make sure that we are able to accommodate everybody that's going to be coming on the evening. We would like to see all of our listeners as well as all of our nominations and their family and friends coming over to Kells on the night when we will be presenting them with their All-Star jersey. And if you haven't seen the All-Star jersey, it's absolutely gorgeous. Again, a little bit of a tweak on last year's, and we'll probably try to do that year on year, so each All-Star jersey is a little bit different from the previous one, but it will be still unique and unique to that year each time we do it. We still have a lot to get through, Davey, so I think we'll start with the LGFA, the Meath LGFA. They had some finals still to be played last weekend, and I have them here in front of me, so I'll run down through them. Keepack Junior C final was between Drumbarra Emmets and Centreston, and it was Drumbarra Emmets who got the better of Centreston in a pulsating final, with Drumbarra taking the upper hand into half-time, 2-10 to 4 points. A spirited comeback from Centreston brought the game level into the final 2 minutes, because Drumbarra lifted the siege, and points from Ella McGlew and player of the match, Emily Morgan, sealed the win for Drumbarra in a highly entertaining game. Well done to Drumbarra and their victory over Centreston in a keenly fought final, that has to be said. The other one was the Junior D final, the Keepack Junior D final between Dunamore Ashburn and Summerhill. A low-scoring affair here, but it was Summerhill who got the better of Dunamore Ashburn on the day. A wet and rain-sodden pitch and screen not dampened both teams' spirits as they both battled hard for the win. It was neck and neck in the final few minutes when a free kick from Summerhill dropped short, and in the scramble, player of the match, Aoife Carroll, was sharpest to drive the ball to the net. In a low-scoring game, it was all about who would take their chance in front of goal, and Summerhill did manage to take that chance and bury that ball to the back of the net. And in the end, it was the decisive score. In the Keepack Junior B final, it was Kilbride 5 points, Trim 5 goals and 7, a massive victory for them in that one. Davey, I suppose of the three finals, the Kilbride Trim one was probably a little bit one-sided, but in the Junior C and the Junior D, between Dunamore Ashburn and Summerhill and the Junior C, Drumbarra Emmets and Centreston, we got two cracking games of football.
We did indeed, yeah. Great to see Drumbara, another first team, I suppose, winning the championship outright. I think you're seeing an awful lot of that in the lower divisions now. We've seen it with Eastern Gales and with Cairn Ross in the last few weeks, and now with Drumbara. Trim, another first team winning the Junior B. They've been knocking on the door for a number of years, beaten in the final last year. So they'll feel it's just rewards for their endeavours and efforts over the last couple of years. And they're a decent, very decent side. They'll go up to Junior A and they'll definitely throw their weight around.
And also Damien, or Davey, did you hear me? Damien, I was actually looking through my phone for Damien Farley from Kilmainham Wood, trying to get ready for the lotto segment later on. But Davey, we also had two teams out in Leinster action. We did have Nafina in the ladies football, and we also had Waterstone as well out in action, and both of them getting really good wins. In the Leinster intermediate quarterfinal, it was Fingallians 3-6, Nafina 5-7. So Nafina now plays Suncroft from Kildare in their Leinster semi-final, which is brilliant for them. And in the Leinster Junior A quarterfinal, it was Waterstone 6-16. O'Rahilly's Oliver Plunkett's 6 points there from Loud, if I'm not mistaken. Massive win for Waterstone. And Waterstone now played Dublin side Skull E. Connell in the Leinster semi-final. Davey, I suppose with Dunshaughlin going out at the first hurdle against Kilmacud, brilliant to see two of the ladies' teams going really well in Leinster at the moment.
Yeah, that's a hell of a win for Waterstone. Huge score to be putting up. I was following that, and they were obviously in complete and utter control from an early stage. And 6-16 is a mighty score to be putting up. Obviously, bigger test line weight. For Nafina, that's a huge victory. Look, at Dublin teams have been the bane of Mead teams' lives in ladies' football when it comes to Leinster. So for Nafina to get one over Fingallians is a terrific result. And I think they'll really fancy the job against Suncroft in a bit of a local derby in the semi-final. So very much exciting times ahead for both Nafina and Waterstown.
Absolutely, and a hell of a weekend for Nafina, because of course their camogues were out, and we're going to come to that in a moment, because when we go to Leinster hurling and camogie action from last weekend, Navan O'Matney's were out against Leixlip in the Leinster Junior Hurling Championship, Davy and Clane on the weekend, and we come up against Leixlip, a much stronger side, in fairness. 3-17 to Navan O'Matney's 11 points. And I suppose Navan O'Matney's probably haven't got over the intermediate final, where they drew that game initially and then lost out to Kildare the second day out. They're still probably reeling at the fact that they let that one slip away in the first final.
Yeah, look, it's not a nice position to be in, Mickey, to have to lose a final and go into Leinster. I think we referenced Vincent's last week doing something similar, I think, in 2018, wasn't it, when Dunboyne beat them in the final. So it's not great. They only had a six-day turnaround from that final as well. And a number of their players, their key players, actually had to play an under-19 football match the day before the Leinster game. Jack McConnell being one of them, and he's a keen player for both sides. And I know he only played a half for the under-19 footballers the night before, but not ideal preparation. I'm not going to go on like it's sour grapes. The better team won, and the better team always would have won in that. But I don't think it's probably a fair reflection of what Navan O'Matney's have offered this year. It was just a disappointing conclusion to it, really.
Yeah, man, sticking with Leinster, camogie action now. Nafina getting the better of Naas in Bacontown. I know that these two, if I'm not mistaken, did duel last year, and it was a game of two halves. It wasn't to be this year for Naas, because Nafina, they hit the front and never looked back. 113 to Naas's 5 points, and a brilliant win for the Nafina Camogues.
Yeah, absolutely. They're going strong on all fronts. It's a remarkable year for them, really, how they've managed to, I suppose, sustain that level of consistency across both football and camogie is outstanding. And yeah, long may it continue. They're still going strong on both codes, which is just brilliant, and massive crossover of players there too. So the success is clearly reaping the rewards.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automore, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Okay, time to move on now, Davey, to the Brady Škoda Regional Championship and the results from the Brady Škoda Regional Championship from last week. We had games on Tuesday night and games on Wednesday night. And on Tuesday night in Group A, it was Tara who got the better of Boyne Valley. It was Boyne Valley who got the better of Tara, 1-8 to 9 points. John McCarthy and David Gallagher doing duel in that one in the management end of things. And in Group B on Tuesday night, it was Blackwater Gales 1-13 to Ontushgard's 13 points. And then on Wednesday night, it was Bruna Bonia from Group A taking on Ard Bracken. A real tight affair here between Niall Ronan's Bruna Bonia and Paul Garrigan's Ard Bracken. A 1 point win for Bruna Bonia, 112 to 111. And in Group B, also on Wednesday night, this game played in Bilgani. It was Mae Fenran 9. It was Davy Nelson's Loch Crew 8 points. And Tommy Hanley getting a 1 point victory over Davy Nelson's Loch Crew. Davy, we did do a full review podcast on these last week. So if anybody wants to go and listen to all the interviews that we did on those games, you can fire ahead and go to patreon.com/wearemead to get those. We will be doing full reviews of the games coming up this week. But I suppose when you look at it, Davey, the regional championship, it's still catching the eye. You know, the biggest margin of victory in any of the four games from last Tuesday and Wednesday was 3 points. Will we see anything different this week? Will we see teams maybe starting to gel a little bit better this week?
Yeah, well, I think for some it's last chance loon, isn't it, Mickey? Like, we look at a couple of the games that we're going to be covering this week. You've got a couple of the games where the two teams are going into a pointless. So it's a massive game, and the loser of those games will effectively be out with a round to spare. So I think it's paramount that teams gel and, more importantly, get a result this week to keep their hopes alive, because you know, it could end fairly abruptly for some teams if they don't get their act together. The one thing I would say, yeah, you're right, that all four games are really competitive. I think the biggest margin being the 3 points that you mentioned, which is great to see. Quality wise, I think there's a bit to go in it. You know, I think probably it hasn't hit the heights of last year, but listen, it's early days, and there's a lot of new regions, there's a lot of new managements there. So hopefully over the next couple of weeks, we're going to see better quality of football, and maybe the weather can play ball with us as well for another couple of weeks, hopefully, and we can get the competition off all good, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And all our commentaries are brought to you this year by PR Coyne & Son, your local Husqvarna dealer down in Clonard, and we will be bringing you all four fixtures between Tuesday and Wednesday this week. In on Tuesday evening, the two games that will take place, that's Halloween night, you're going to see Ard Bracken taking on Tara in Cortown from 8 p.m. Both of those sides, as Davey alluded to, are pointless at the moment, so a win for either one will bring them back into the competition. And that's going to be on our Twitter spaces, so look for that one on Twitter. And at the same time, in Ballinlock, it's going to be Loch Crew against Blackwater. And of course, Loch Crew, if I'm not mistaken, they lost the last day out. Blackwater got the win. That's going to be on our MixLR. So do tune into our MixLR. Anybody who's already signed up for our MixLR will get the notification. But if you haven't signed up to MixLR, stay tuned to our social media pages and you'll get the link to that one as well. The link to the Twitter spaces will be going out as well as the MixLR one. So you'll be able to tune in to either game on Tuesday night. And then on Wednesday night, it is the two tabletoppers from Group A, Boyne Valley against Bruna Bonia. That's in Waterstown from 8 p.m. That's going to be on our Twitter spaces. And then on MixLR at the same time, 8 p.m. from Castletown, it's going to be Davey Risman commentating between Ontushgard and Mae Fenran. So four cracking games coming up Tuesday, Wednesday, Davey.
Yeah, very much looking forward to them, Mickey. It'll be a brilliant brilliant couple of days action, and yeah, we're looking forward to bringing all four games to people across Spaces and Mixlr. So do stay tuned.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne and Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer, on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne and Sons. If you need any more information on the Automore, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Okay, David, that's the regional championship results looked at now and the fixtures that are coming up. But you have some results for us from the hurling as well that we need to run through.
Yeah, listen, another weekend, another two cups for Kildare to collect. That's just how they roll at the moment. Just ridiculous stuff going on. The Billy Byrne Cup, they won the final of that on Saturday after extra time. They defeated Kilscare Moyla on a scoreline of 3-19 to 2-14. That was the first of their doubles over the weekend. They topped it off by winning the Harmon Oil Brendan Davis Cup then on Sunday in Father Plunkett Memorial Park, where it finished Kildare 19 points, Kiltale 1-12, which brings their trophy haul. I don't know what's that. Is that six this year?
The two competitions left, is it?
They were the two outstanding ones that they're after going and winning now. So they've got Leinster to go into in a couple of weeks' time. And yeah, it's absolutely remarkable.
All eight competitions that they entered, they got to the finals. So what ones did they lose?
They lost the Division One league if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I think that was the only one that they didn't win.
I'll take the club of the year off them. Jesus Christ.
But like I actually met a number of them on Sunday night rather in Trim and had a great chat with a lot of them, and it's almost not sunk in, you know, yet what they're achieving or what they're in the process of achieving, and it probably won't do for a long time. No. But it's just phenomenal, really, and they're just churning out victories week after week, day after day. Even on Saturday, Kilscare Moyla pushed them to the limit, got probably fortunate to get to extra time, and they just blew them away in extra time, you know. And even Kiltale, to be fair to them, put it up to them on Sunday with their first team, but still Kildare found a way, 1-4. They've got a couple of weeks off now, and then they go into Leinster. That'll be the last real push, and they'll give it absolutely everything, I've no doubt about it. They had a difficult loss in their club as well last week, but it's astonishing. They're just shoo-ins for club of the year. It's just, I can't get my head around it. It's gets better and better every week we talk about them, you know.
But yeah, it's a phenomenal run that they're on, and you know, to enter eight competitions, get to the finals of all of them, and still have Leinster to go. As you said, we think that's six, if not seven, of the trophies that they picked up as well. It's just a phenomenal thing to do. And you're saying that it hasn't hit them. This won't hit them. This, you know, like when you're in the midst of it, when you're at, like, for instance, when we won the championship in Simonson in 2016, the first one ever in the club, you know, people are asking you, you know, this is amazing. Like, how does it feel? And you're like, going, oh, well, you know, it's only when you look back on things like that years later, and then you look at it and you go, Jesus, that was, you know, that was a massive thing for the club. It was a massive thing for everybody involved. You don't realize it at the time. But this is like, this is myth. Do you know that kind of way? These guys will be talked about in 50, 60, 70 years. Do you remember that team from Kildare? Do you know what I mean? Like, are those teams from Kildare that did what they did in that one season? It's a phenomenal achievement.
It is, and you're right, they're all part of, and unfortunately, I was saying, you know, it's all downhill from here on in, you know, unfortunately, they're never going to replicate what they've done.
But they could,
but they won't, like, you know, that's the nature of it now. They've peaked as a club, and unbelievable. Sorry, there's just a couple more results, Mickey, before you move on.
Yeah, go on.
From the Camogie, just to bring up the speed on, two games, two semi-finals were down for decision in the Senior B, and Drumree were winners of the first one. They defeated Boars Mill on a scoreline of 4 goals and 6 points to 2 goals and 5 points. And in the other game, Killeen ran out comfortable victors against Clannagail. Killeen 2-15, Clannagail 2 goals and 6, which means that Killeen will play Drumree in the Bective Stud Tea Rooms and Apartments Mead Senior B final. That'll take place on Saturday next, the 4th of November. Venue and time still TBC.
Yeah. Well, best of luck to both of those teams taking the field in that Senior 2 final. So all the best. Great stuff. Not the time of the year you want to be playing hurling as well at the moment, with the weather that we're seeing at the moment, Davey.
No, it's not the type of, you know, for anything, let alone hurling. But fair juice to them, getting everything played. And we've seen the amount of games that they've had to deal with between Camogie and ladies football. The finals are still being played, you know, so hats off to everybody that's involved.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Davey, we'll move on now to our Kiko Sports. We are Meet All-Stars night. And it's, as we said already, taking place the 25th of November in the Blackwater Inn in Kells. And our thanks to George and Patricia Plunkett over there in Kells for their continued support of the We Are Meat podcast, and of course for all that they did throughout the championship. And we will be having the All-Stars night over in Kells, we have the nominations here, Davey. We did do a podcast on it last week, but we want to let our listeners know all the nominations that we have for each of the positions. We will be contacting all of our nominees over the next couple of days, and there's a few little nice things involved for them when they do come over to the Blackwater Inn in Kells. And we are delighted to say that we will have Colm O'Rourke, we will have John Kavanagh, we will have the Secretary, hopefully, of the Meath County Board, Mr. Kieran Flynn, over on the night as well as some other special guests. And not only that, we will have the Tolchin Cup with a little bit of luck, we'll have that over, and we'll have the cups from each of the championships as well, Davey. So it's looking to be a great night over in Kells already.
Yeah, no, very much looking forward to it. You know, we're trying to kick it on a bit from last year as well, and just improve things. And all things being equal, Mickey, it looks like it's shaping up to be a fantastic night. So we look forward to having all the players from the respective clubs over, and a huge number of the We Are Meath listeners as well, if they're available to pop over on the night. All proceeds going to the Dad Cycle charity in Kells. So, you know, a really good cause on board with us as well.
Yeah, and just on that, it is free into the event, and we will have buckets going around if anybody can spare some change or some notes. They do prefer notes, just to let you know. But if you've got change, we'll take that as well. And it is for the Dad Cycle charity over there in Kells. So, again, free admission on the night, just a donation to the charity if you can. So, Davey, we'll announce the nominees, and we'll start with our goalkeeper. Who are the nominees for the goalkeeper's position?
Yeah, we've got Johnny Lynch from Menalty, Sean Moneyman from Summerhill, Dominic York from Mead Hill, and the final one is Darren Beryl from Slane.
And for our number two jersey, we've got Ben Wire from Rathoath, Ronan Lynch from Menalty, Conor Shepherd from Wolf Tones, and Adam Lynch from St. Colum Kills.
For the full back jersey, then, we've got Mark Dempsey from Kilbride, Jack McGowan from Trim, Mark Byrne from Rakenny, and Ronan Ryan from Summerhill.
Completing our half back line, one of these four will be wearing
full
the back
line.
Four. Who did I say? The
half back line.
Oh, yeah. Well, one of these players will
come. Any of these could play in the half back line.
Probably could. But one of these will be completing our full back line on the day, because for the four jersey, the four nominees are Sean O'Hare from Rakenny, Evan Murray from Slane, John Lavelle from Summerhill, and Evan Quinn from Dunmore Ashburn.
moving on to the halfback line now, for the first of the positions in the halfback line, the five jersey, Andy McGweeney from Kilbride, Killian Price from Castletown, Thomas McGovern from Dunham and Ashburn, and Adam McDonnell from Summerhill will contest this one.
And the contestants and nominees for the sixth jersey will be Ross Ryan from Summerhill, Josh Carlin from Simonstown, Dan O'Neill from Wolf Tones, and Donald Keoghan from Rathkenny.
Lovely stuff, Mickey, for the number seven jersey and completing the half back line. Philly Gary from Clannagale, Podge Geraghty from Summerhill, Keenan Byrne from Duleek Bellewstown, and Brendan McKeown from Bolivar.
And moving into the midfield pairing, the first jersey up for grabs is the number eight, and the four nominees are Adam Flanagan from Summerhill, Dara Griffin from Clannagale, Carl Hickey from Centralstown, and Adam O'Neill from Wolf Tones.
For the number nine jersey then, it's Gary Breslin from Mead Hill, Alan Bowden off Duleek Bellewstown, Owen Brady from Ballinlough, and Connor Harford of St Vincent's.
Moving on to our half-forward line, and the nominees for the 10 jersey are Rian Stafford from Kilmainham Wood, Leo Riley from Dunamore Ashburn, Cormac Sheehy from Mead Hill, and Rory Kinsler from Dunchocklan.
For the centre half-forward position, it's Max McKenna of Rathkenny, Alan Harding from Slane, Owen Frayne from Summerhill, and Killian O'Sullivan off Manalvi.
Our number 12 jersey nominees will be Connor McWeeney from Kilbride, Aegon Mallon from Navan O'Matney's, Matt Tully from Slane, and Danny Quinn from Ballinabrachy.
Starting off in the full forward line now with the number 13 jersey, Matthew Costlow is our first of our nominees off Dunshocklin. It's Donal Landy from St Pat's, Podge McGowan from Slane, and Donal Lenehan from St Peter's Dunboyne.
A lot of competition there for that number 13 jersey. And the competition for the number 14 jersey doesn't weigh in either, so it doesn't, because the four nominees are Brian McMahon from Rathode, Keith Curtis from Rathkenny, Aina Mooney from Slane, and Brian O'Connell from Waterstown.
And last but by no means least, top of the left, number 15, Barry Dardis from Summerhill, Darrell Rowe from Sidon, Josh Harford from Kilbride, and Cathal Finnegan from Centralstown. Pick that, Mickey.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just going to say the same to you, Davey. I am not looking forward to trying to narrow these four nominations from each position down to one. We will obviously have to do that, and there will be some hard luck stories. But, you know, any of the four nominations in each position, you know, can you imagine if you lined out four different teams against each other? You're talking the top quality. You'd have four teams, so you would. I can imagine playing a kind of a semi-final and a final between them, because absolutely incredible nominations for all the positions. You'd be happy with any of them on your team.
Do you know what we... Here's one for you. I'm going rogue here, Mickey.
Right.
And I'm sure George and Patricia won't mind, but if there is somebody that's going to be there on the night and they fancied sending us in who they think will be our starting 15... If anybody can nail the starting 15 that we announce on the night, maybe I'm sure we could give them maybe 3 or 4 points on the night. And
absolutely.
Even if that
sure.
has to come out of our pockets, we'll happily do that.
Somebody yeah.
to pick our 15, yeah.
Absolutely. So there's one for you. Now get naming your 15 and see if it coincides with the 15 that myself and Davey will be picking for the team of the year. That I'd say you've got better odds of winning the lot. In fairness.
To be fair, I've already got a few in. A few people have actually sent me, you know, wrote down on paper, and there's a few good attempts, but nobody's got remotely close to even what we were thinking. We don't have a pick or anything like that, but this is the nature of it. Like, everybody's going to have a completely different team. And I'm trying to get us out of the firing line by saying this here and now, Mickey, because it's going to be a really difficult one to pick. I was actually looking back at George's speech from last year, and it was a great speech. You'll remember it, obviously, but I think at the very beginning of the speech, he distanced himself completely from any wrongdoing with the picking of the team, you know, and put the blame solely on mine and your doorsteps. But listen, it's brilliant. And I think the players all really enjoy it and they all get it. And I think for everybody that is achieved or that is nominated, all 60, it's an achievement in itself, isn't it? You know, to be picked out from the four or five grades, it's great stuff.
Yeah, it really is. And of course, we will be announcing that Kiko Sports We Are Mead All-Stars Team of the Year on the 25th of November in the Blackwater Inn in Kells. Just sign up on Eventbrite. It's free to do so.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
Moving on, Davey, we have some Leinster Club Football Championship action coming up this weekend, and delighted to say that there's three of our Meath teams still involved, because all of our three teams, Kilbride, Kilkenny and Summerhill, got victories the first day out. And of course, things are going to get harder as it goes along. That's the nature of competition, I suppose. But the first one up is going to be Kilbride against Milltown of Kildare, Dunamore Ashburn, next Saturday, the 4th of November at 2 p.m, as we said, in Dunamore Ashburn. Big, big game ahead of this Kilbride side, who struggled over Amsterdam, it has to be said. But maybe the fact that we didn't know much about Amsterdam was their Achilles heel in the day. They'll know a little bit more about this Milltown side.
They absolutely will, Mickey. This Milltown side are the real deal. They won their championship comfortably by 10 or 11 points, and they won their first round of the Leinster against Rosslare, I think it was, of Wexford by 6 or 7 points. They're a really good side. I think Kilbride will have no excuses about not knowing much about them. It'll be a big step up in class, and hopefully Kilbride can get some of those players that were missing the last day back in action and give it a right good rattle.
Yeah, we will be doing a full preview of all these Leinster games over in our Loyal Royals. We're just going to run through them fairly quickly here at the moment. Kilkenny, at the same time, will be out on Saturday. It's Saturday, isn't it? Or is it Sunday? Yeah. It is Saturday. And it's in Glennon Brothers Pierce Park at 2 p.m. on Saturday. Kilkenny against Keena of Longford. And again, Glennon Brothers Pierce Park has never been kind to the Meath senior football team, never mind club teams, but this is not an easy one either for Rakedi going down to Keena on Sunday. It's not too far of a journey. That's I suppose the best part of it.
No, it's not a bad one. Obviously, you'd like to have been at home, but unfortunately, it's not. They have to travel down there. Keena, this is their first outing in Leinster. They've been waiting in the wings. You know, they've had 3 weeks off since they won the championship. They won it by a point. They came from 6 points down in that game. So they'll have had plenty of time to kind of sit back and relax and watch Rakenny against the Wexford boys two weeks ago. So it should be an intriguing enough game. And look, Rakenny will need to improve too, but I expect them to have a more polished performance than what we've seen from them the last day. And it'll be tight and tough. But listen, I think Rakenny are probably on paper our best chance of provincial success maybe. So let's hope they can deliver again.
Yeah, and I suppose the last day out, the first half, they were a little bit kind of, probably kind of easing themselves in. Because as we said, like Leinster Club Championship is a completely different animal to Club Championship. So they put in a really good second half performance. Keena, this is their first day out. So a good start is huge here for Rakenny.
It is, yeah. They'll have to hit the ground running. They'll have to be a bit better than they were the last day. But I agree with you. I think they were probably just ring rusty the last day, and it was a good opportunity to shake those cobwebs off. And I think they should be a lot more sharper. And in actual fact, you would think that the fact that they've had a competitive game and maybe, you know, Keena haven't for about 3 weeks might just potentially stand to them in the early stages, and they might attack this game from the off, and it could just put them in a strong position, hopefully.
Absolutely. And then Summerhill will take on Naas in Hawkfield Centre of Excellence, Kildare's Centre of Excellence, on Sunday at 2 p.m. That's the 5th of November. Naas, what are they? This is their third championship in a row, is it? In Kildare. You know, it's for Summerhill, this is not a far distance either to travel down into Hawkfield and whatever. But, you know, like, I know Naas have more experience of playing in Leinster more recently, but Summerhill had that massive win over Tullamore and didn't play particularly well that day. So again, aside that, I think that there's an awful lot more to come from, and if they can, you know, increase their performance by 15 or 20% against Naas, which is very doable for them, you know, they'll be well in this game.
Yeah, yeah, they will. I think anything other than that, they won't be, though. You know, they do have to add 15 to 20% onto their game. We know they're capable of it, but it's whether or not they can do that. We'll hopefully see Adam McDonald back. I believe he's kind of touch and go going into the game. It'll be a big addition if he is to be fit. They've won three in a row. They've won five hurling championships in a row in Kildare. It's an achievement that hasn't been done, I think, since the 50s. So look, they're a savage side, Naas, and they've got loads of Kildare county panelists as well involved, and it'll be a formidable test down there in Hawkfield. But listen, Summerhill aren't going to back down from that sort of challenge. They'll really embrace that underdog tag, and they're really proud. They'll get great amount from the win the last day, despite the fact, as you say, Mickey, that they weren't at their best. And let's hope they can go down and give a good account of themselves, and maybe just get a little bit of the rub of the green on the day, and might just stand at them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, best luck to all of our three teams taking the field this weekend in the Leinster competition: Kilbride, Rakenny, and Summerhill. And as we said, we'll do full previews of their Leinster quarterfinals over on our Patreon service. It's patreon.com/wearemead for the Loyal Royals podcast. We'll go into a little bit more depth on each of those games on that platform. Moving on then, Davey, time to go through our lottos. I hope all of the PROs have been in contact with you. It's a bank holiday weekend, so they tend to, you know, be out and go missing and stuff.
Yeah, they have a bit, to be fair. There's only a handful on my list, Mickey, this week, so I'll run through them first. Starting with Navan O'Matney's, the first one up. Their numbers from last week were 4, 13, 21 and 23. They had no jackpot winner. Match three winners were Coco and Lola, Pauline and Madeline Blake. Next week's draw takes place tomorrow night, the 31st of October. It's worth €13,650. Kilmainham are next in, and their results from last Monday night, the 23rd of October, no winner. The numbers drawn were 4, 17, 22 and 25. Next week's jackpot is worth €9,600. Five lucky dip winners, each receiving €20, were Rumpo, Barry Lynch, Liam Needle, John and Michael, and Emer Farley. Manalvi from last Monday night, 12, 21, 24, and 26. No jackpot winner. Three €20 winners were Julie Bryan, David Donoghue, and Siobhan Douglas. The next draw takes place on Monday, which is tonight. It's worth €5,200. You can play it at manalvigfc.ie or on the Club Force app. Drumbarra, 1, 2, 6, and 13. Their numbers from last week, 3,800 of a jackpot, not one. €30 winners were Patrick O'Rourke Jr., Shawnee Bennett, Fionn Tom, Maya, and Jack, Jennifer Grimes, and Dermot and Niamh. Longwood from last Monday night, next draw to take place tonight. They had a 2,500 jackpot. They have a 2,500 jackpot for tonight. Last week's 2,400 jackpot wasn't won. The lucky dip winners were Frank Scully, Fergal Giles, and Joyce Dixon. Their numbers were 11, 20, 26, and 27. And the final one on my list, Mickey, is from Waterstown. From the 22nd of October, 8, 14, 16, and 19. No jackpot winner. Two match three winners were Emer McGrain and Willie Clark. And next week's draw moves on to €9,000.
Very good. Well, moving on then to Kilmainham Woods Lotto from last Monday, the 23rd. The numbers drawn were 7, 10, 12, and 17. There was no jackpot winner. Five lucky dip winners, each receiving €20, were Enda McNamee, Paul Cassidy, Agnes Clark, Dennis Farley, and Fiona Hanratty. Interestingly enough, Enda McNamee was from Oldcastle, and he won that one in line. This week's lotto was a massive €4,400. That's taking place tonight. And then Central Sense, also from last Monday night. Their lotto numbers drawn were 20, 21, 25, and 27. The lotto jackpot was €5,800 and it wasn't won. The five lucky duck winners were Linda Healy, Sonia O'Brien, Michelle Grimes, Tony Corbelly, Rosaline Rooney. This week's lotto, taking place tonight, is €5,900. And then finally, Simonson's lotto took place on Friday night and the jackpot was €4,150. There was no winner. There was only one match three winner and she wins €150. That's Peggy O'Leary. The numbers drawn 7, 13, 23, and 29. This week's lotto on Friday night will be €4,200. That's the lotto was looked at. Now it's time to move on to our Instagram talking points, Davey.
Sure, Mickey. The first one up is from Ronan Harton, and he said St. Bridget's will be strong contenders for the under-19s once their players are back fully fit.
You might know a little bit more about that one than me.
Yeah, look, they'd have plenty, I suppose. They'd have a lot of guys actually who would have played first team football this year playing with that under-19s squad. So yeah, they ought to be pretty strong, and they've done, you know, an amazing amount of work. So I think that's an absolutely fair assumption to make. Dylan Grehan is next. It's all about under-19s this week, actually. He said Dunboyne for the under-19 championship, of course. They did win the minor this year, didn't they? So like they ought to be strong at Division 1 level.
Yeah, and they won the minor hurling as well. So maybe they'll do a double in the under-19 hurling and football.
Yeah. K.R. Vallets said Drumree Camogie in the county final senior B. Yeah, we called that one out earlier on, didn't we? Great achievement for Drumree, and obviously on the back of Dunshaughlin Royal Gael's exploits as well this year in football in terms. That would be a brilliant double if they could achieve that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say there's a nice little crossover of players as well between those two teams.
Mm. Scott Lynch said Drumbarra under-19s with a serious win with only 14 players.
I did see this one, actually. They had a great win, actually, but I'd have to go back through Twitter to have a look at it. I was following that one all right.
Yeah, and of course, they won the... didn't they win the Junior C at Ladies as well? I'm just getting the scoreline. They defeated Innie Gaels on a scoreline of 5-15 to 4-10. 9 points for Hughie Cork and 3 for Jake Madden and 2 for Scott Lynch. So a great win for the Drums on that one.
Yeah, an absolute goal fest for them.
Goal fest is right, yeah. Oisín Mooney said Kyle Tallon shaving off the mullet. That's news.
Hold the fucking front door there. Hang on a second. What the fuck is after happening? Excuse my French. What's after happening with Kyle Tallon? He didn't. Couldn't have. How will we know him?
I haven't seen photo evidence, so we'll hold judgment on that, Mickey. But we might, if anybody does have a picture of Kyle Tallon's Baronet, please send it in to us.
Yeah, please. Just let us know whether this is true or not. Shut the front door.
Luke Quinn said paying €20 into a minor final is a joke.
Is that what it was?
I don't know, to tell you the truth.
I was speaking to
a man.
Yeah, I was speaking to a man last week who was just, we were talking about, you know, the cost of going to the different finals and stuff like that. And the ladies' final is still only €10 and the men's final is €25. And a minor final, €20, that's a little bit costly.
Yeah, just linked to that, Mossy Riley said €10 into a regional game and they didn't even have umpires for the first half. Yeah, I was actually at that game. It wasn't great. Look, to me it's probably up to the club that's hosting the game to find it. And even two would do, one either side. I don't think it's fair on the referee at this time of the year doing midweek games to expect to arrive with umpires of that. But yeah, like, yeah,
that was all organized last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Look, I think it's the kind of onus is on the clubs now, and that is disappointing. I thought it was a bad enough look now last week, and there wasn't even linesman there as well. It put the referee under a bit of pressure. Now he did well, but like for him to have to call what's wide and what's a point as well, is it's a hard enough job at the best of times, isn't it? Without having to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. 100% agree with that.
Lucky to be working, said clubs not putting up posts on Instagram after a beating. Watery hens, seriously, like.
No, I don't know. I don't be up on... did they put them up on Twitter and up on Facebook, maybe? Just don't put them up on...
I think by and large they do, to be fair, most clubs. Gavin Darcy said the St. Colum Kills winning minor team 2 years ago was the best minor team ever. That's a big claim.
Massive statement. And only time will tell if they go on and win senior championships and stuff, then we can see. Maybe the standard of the other minor teams was poor and they just looked amazing. you know, but that was an unbelievable St. Colum Kills minor team a couple of years ago. There was a load of them involved. Wasn't four or five of them involved with the All-Ireland men and minor team at that stage?
Yeah, they're a serious team. Brian Flynn said, hopefully the free taken for Meath will be sorted now that the GOAT is at the helm.
Which one is the GOAT? Because we've got a few.
In reference, I would imagine to Trevor Giles, surely.
Oh, yes. Of course, Trevor Giles coming in as part of the management team, forwards coach for Meath this year. We never even touched on that. Great appointment. And hopefully. Now, we've had a few standout players in the club championship who are on the Meath panel, who kicked frees for fun throughout the club championship. So it'll be interesting to see which of them get the nod, basically. Yeah.
Robert Perfield said we need a dome like the one in Mayo.
Oh, stop! That'd be class. Give up. Yeah. That'd be amazing. But Jesus Christ, we don't have enough money at the moment. Just relax now. We have to get Park Tolchin sorted and all that as well.
One step at a time, yeah. Lucky to be working, said Navan Hurlers beaten by Leakslip.
Yeah, we spoke about that earlier on, of course. Navan O'Matney's are beaten intermediate finalists, losing out to Leakslip, the Junior Hurling Championship in Clane, 3-17-11. Did you just want us to read out the result? Was that it?
Potentially. And that seamlessly links us into poor Jack Walsh, who said the standard of refereeing in Meath, they should be subject to fitness testing. If I'm not mistaken, Mickey, I think there is fitness testing for the referees in Meath.
There is. There's across the country, you have to do fitness testing, whatever. Look, that's a broader discussion, I suppose. The biggest problem with refereeing in every county, it's not just me, is consistency. And the fact that there's so many rules in the rule book that are left to the interpretation of the referee, it's very frustrating. So I hear where he's coming from, but at the end of the day, we need our referees. And, you know, there's not too many people sticking their hand up to do it.
Absolutely. And linked to that, you're right. Like, there could be a lot of lads that would go training with the referees to see exactly what the vast majority of the referees do in Meath to keep themselves in shape. I know a number of them personally, and they train as hard as any club hurler or footballer in the county, genuinely, you know. So I don't think it's fair to kind of brandish that to the majority of referees who do look after themselves and are as fit as any of the players that are, you know, taking part.
But I do feel his grievance. I know where he's coming from, and but we can't knock our referees because we don't have an awful lot of them. Because as I said, there's not too many people sticking their hand up to do it.
No, agreed. That's it for this week, Mickey.
Sinead. Absolutely. Yeah. Great stuff. Well, again, just a reminder for all our listeners to go on to Eventbrite. If you're coming over to the Blackwater Inn in Kells on the 25th of November, we will be announcing our Kiko Sports. We are Meath All-Stars Team of the Year. And it is for a great charity. It is Dad's Cycle over there in Kells, who look after all the local charities with the money they raised. They're a fantastic, fantastic charity. And it's going to be a brilliant night. And we'd love to see as many people over there as possible. Do check out our Loyal Royals podcast this week. We're going to have Leinster preview. And we will, of course, be doing our regional championship reviews later in the week after the two games on Tuesday and two games on Wednesday. We'll be sitting down to do our podcast, and we'll have interviews from all of those games as well, taking place Tuesday and Wednesday. But look, that's it for this episode of your We Are Meath podcast. Remember, We Are Meath, why matters more.